tell you tonight, truly, this church is blessed with some great God-sent talent. Do you not agree?
Amen.
I think this morning when I heard Sister Dorothy singing, truly that just blessed my heart. Walk a mile. What a blessing. Couldn't do that, could you? And then tonight, Brother Mac, truly, that's an encouragement to our heart that he's risen again and that he's going to come again.
Amen.
I thought while he was singing that, I said, Lord, won't you just let it get out of the banks and I won't have to preach what you've laid on my heart to preach. And struggled with a title for this message, but he gave it to me, Brother Mac, while you was singing that right then. Title for the message tonight. Oh, what does he think about me? What does he think about thee? It's the title for our message tonight.
Thank you. With many blessings. I hate to miss an opportunity to do that. We never know when it may be our last chance here.
Amen.
We're looking forward to an eternity of getting to finish that job. I was thinking this morning how many times he's blessed me in my life. How many prayers he's heard. How many prayers he's answered. The wonderful thing about that is he knows which ones to answer.
Yeah, he does.
Because half the time I don't know what to ask. I'm thankful for that Holy Spirit that knows for me. I just want to thank him for being my Savior. For that cross.
Amen.
That's a special thing. We all need to spend a little time in our lives just thinking about that cross and what it was, the place of the skull. Wasn't a pretty place. But what happened there, what came from that, nothing can ever describe, but we'll see one day the results.
Amen.
I was thinking too this morning about our Sunday school lesson, Brother John was teaching and talking about the cornerstone. And all that have been rejected. But you know, the cornerstone, that's the strength, and that's where the power comes from. That's what keeps everything else held up. And as Christians, it just, Brother John, I really love to hear him teach. Are we looking to be one of these little stones that's placed out here that looks nice and just fits in where everything should? Or are we looking to be the strength of the church, or the strength of this world, because that's what's holding this world together, I believe, is the church. And I believe it's not too far off, maybe I may even see it in my lifetime, the church is going to be withdrawn. I don't want to be here, and I won't be here. He's sure to do that.
Yeah.
But I thank him for the prayers he's answered.
Yeah.
First time, a long time, my whole family's been in church together. Nobody but the Father knows how to bless him.
Yeah,
bless
him.
And that's a gift from him. Something I prayed about and requested prayer for a long time. But there was a point right up here one morning, I said, Father, I don't know what else to do, and I don't know what else to ask. This is in your hands. And that's when things started to happen. We can get to the point where we say, Father, I can't handle this burden, but I want to be like you. Then we'll see things happen in our life. But I just praise him, and I thank him for all he's done for me. And not one thing have I ever served or ever earned. But I thank him for that precious grace and his love and kindness.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
First of all, I want to say he said we had the best pastor that he ever heard in his
Amen.
Life.
Yes.
Second, he said this was the greatest church that they'd ever been in.
Amen.
And he kept on talking and he had tears in his eyes. And he also said, I needed to get. Said, I wanted to get this message. I wanted to go get saved. But he said, I couldn't because I've already been saved. But he said that if I hadn't been, this would have been. He just kept on telling me what a wonderful church and pastor we had.
Amen.
Amen. I know we told the truth about the church part. Amen.
No doubt about that. What a blessing the church is. Friendly folks. What does he think about me? And what does he think about thee? In the book of 3 John. I can tell some of y'all are burning up as well as I am. Burning up.
Good day for me today. I've enjoyed it. I've been in church about all day, and all but about maybe an hour and a half. And I've enjoyed it. Enjoyed some good singing at the homecoming. And a lot of you may know Brother Ivy Dellinger and his wife Holly. They're members of Park Life Memorial, been there for years and years. Every year I go, I get him to sing me that song where this is what heaven means to me. And he talks to it. And he talks about what heaven means to it when we get to see the Lord. There's a part in there we get to see our mom and dads. And that just blesses me to death, that song. Every time I go, I ask him to sing it for me. And he said, "Brother, pray for me." He said, "That's a long song." And Ivy's getting up in age. But he's a real man of God, and I thank the world for him. He's a blessing. But it's been good to be in church all day.
Amen.
I've enjoyed it.
Amen. What a blessing.
Tell my wife this is the 11th service for me in just over a week. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I've got to be in church 11 times in just over a week in different services, and I have really enjoyed being in the house of God, sometimes getting to hear the Word of God, sometimes being able to share the Word of God, and it is a privilege. I tell you what, I'll say this. I know we serve the best Savior of them all.
Amen.
We've got the best God. There's no other God like Him. Amen. Amen. There are three D's in 3 John I want to look at tonight. Three D's in 3 John. 3 John 3D. What about that? Three D's we want to look at tonight. What does he think about me, and what does he think about thee? Let's read this chapter. I'm going to ask you if you would please stand with me tonight. 3 John, verse 1. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a goodly sort, or a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be with thee. Our friends salute thee. greet the friends by name. I remember one of the first goals that I had for the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, or at least for my tenure in this church, was to learn the names of the children. Wasn't concerned with learning all, and you'll be disappointed, but I wasn't concerned with learning the names of all the different leaders in the church. I was interested in learning the children's names and learning to shake their hand and know them on a first name basis. And they'd learn to trust me as their preacher, as someone that cares for their soul. And I love you young people. I love you to death with all my heart. I look all over the house tonight and I'm thankful to see young people standing with their Bibles open, looking at the Word of God. And we're thankful for that tonight. And he says, greet the friends by name. Now, you and I believe this with all my heart. If I can learn the name of your children and I can learn to greet them, I think that might turn your heart towards me as well. You treat my children right, I'm going to treat you right. I mean, it's the same. If you treat my children right, it's the same as treating me right. Do you follow me? And since that time, I've been blessed to get to know your names and to understand some things about you. I can, when I'm in the pulpit, can look into your eyes when I'm preaching to you and know whether you've received the truth or whether it didn't come through to you or dawn on you on the way, or whether you're interested or not. I can almost tell how you're reacting to the message just by looking into your eyes. And I appreciate that. Because a lot of people, they don't want to look at their preacher in the eye when he preaches. They don't want to look at the ceiling. They don't want to look at the windows. They want to act disinterested, but not y'all. Y'all are a peculiar sort. And that's my kind. And so tonight, I love you, and I greet y'all by name. Welcome tonight. Good to see you. Would you do me the honor of just going to the Lord in prayer with me, praying for me as I pray? Let's pray. Father, tonight, Lord Jesus, as we bow in your presence, we do thank you for the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. Father, that you saw fit down through the years to preserve your Word and made sure, Father, that it ended up in my hands. And you made sure, Father, that it ended up in my ears. And you made sure, Father, that the Word of God permeated my heart and God, conviction came. God, I'm thankful, Father, for the convicting power, the sweet, fragrant Holy Ghost. God, how long I've been saved now? 27 years. Oh, I'm so thankful. But God, what have I done with the 27 years you've given me? Lord, what is it tonight you think about me? What do my brothers and sisters in Christ think about me? What does this world think about me? Father, tonight as we bow in your presence, God, we ask that you'd be our helper tonight, God. You'd guide us, lead us, fill us, preach us tonight, Father, I pray. God, I pray for this congregation. I love them and appreciate them. And I believe this people, Father, is behind the common vision that you have laid out before this church. I pray, God, for this people. I pray, God, you'd bless them. I pray, God, you'd help them, God, in all aspects of their life. God, in their soul, in their health, in their finances, in relationships with their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and relationships in business, relationships in the world, that God, they'd get along well. I pray, God, that we'd learn to do well. I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us then as we stand to preach, that you'd just take us and inspire us, God, by the sweet Holy Ghost, and give us an unction, God, a God-sent, God-given unction tonight to preach your word. Father, help us then to look into this portion of thy word and see truth. Truth that would help me. Truth that would help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, for these favors, we plead in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. We see some things tonight. 3 D's in 3 John, or 3 John 3D. First of all, in the first 8 verses, we read about a man named Gaius. In fact, the Bible says that he was beloved, and he mentions the word beloved about that man Gaius many times. I believe that John, the Apostle John, is the writer here. Not John the Baptist, the Apostle John. He is John that wrote the Gospel of John. He is John that wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And John the Revelator is the very same who wrote the book of the Revelations. All those that he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. He looks at this man Gaius, and he says something about this man Gaius that tonight is interesting to me and should be interesting to thee. I believe this man Gaius could be listed, number one, as a dedicated brother. Tonight when people see you or they see me, do they see a dedicated brother in Christ? Now, I believe that Gaius, we read these verses, I believe he was just a regular church member. I can't see that he was a preacher. I can't see that he was a teacher. I can't see that he had no great leadership skills or any authority whatsoever to be commended for within the church. He was just like God's allowed me to preach these last few years, but just like I was growing up in church, just studying to be quiet, learning the Word of God, wanting to worship Him, wanting to serve Him, and wanting to be active in the church. And that's the way the man Gaius was. I want you to see, first of all, I believe this man Gaius was a converted man. Amen? I believe he's converted. Because John says he was the beloved Gaius. And he goes on to talk about how that this man worked within the church. I believe Gaius was a converted man. I believe Gaius was a saved man. If you look at a dedicated brother, they're only brother if they're saved. Amen. I believe Gaius was a saved man. But let's look, second of all, at his condition. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." That's his condition. Makes me kind of think maybe he was a man that wasn't exactly well in health speaking. He said, "I want your health to prosper as your soul prospers." So maybe his condition was he may have had some physical problems. Now, tonight every one of us at some point of time, either in the past, in the present, or the future, we're going to have some physical problems. Amen? But this man Gaius, even though he had physical problems, his soul prospered. Hey, tonight, is your soul prospering? I'm talking about, is it well with your soul? Hey, I'm glad tonight I can say, it is well with my soul. Can you say that tonight? Is it well with your soul? The man Gaius' soul was well. Why was his soul well? Because he was living a Christian life that was an active Christian life. Now, I've got a plant out on the back porch, on the deck there that's hanging. And when we were doing the roofing project, we had kind of set it off. And for a couple days there, it was neglected. It takes water every single day. The water just runs right through its soil, water to keep it green. And the couple days we worked on the roof, I kind of put it off in the corner. I was tired, busy doing other things. I was preaching funerals and trying to get on the roof and work a little. Some of them said I was playing golf. That's okay. We had a good time. I don't play golf, by the way. We just had a good time. And we laughed. And boy, we had fellowship on that roof. But I'm telling you what, fellas, I'm still trying to nurse that plant back to health. In fact, there was a while there, I looked to my wife and said, I'm telling you, I'm going to throw this foul thing away. It's belly up, it's dead, it's brown, it looks bad. And God began to break through on my heart and said, "Why don't you water it a little?" So I said, "Lord, I'll water it today, but it won't be green tomorrow." God said, "But if you'd water it again tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, as I bless you, that thing will begin to come back to life and be green again." And I'm telling you what, that plant on my back deck, it's been a joy for me to work with it. I mean, it was at one point in time, it was alive and well. And I neglected it. The way we neglect feeding our souls, the way we neglect
our spiritual lives. And if you ain't careful, you'll get walking far off and you'll get out of condition and you'll begin to get deadened to the things of God. I'm not saying you've lost your salvation, but I'm saying you'll begin to wilt, dry out, and fizzle up. Amen? That's exactly right. And this old plant was just a fizzling there. And God said, I want you to begin to water it. Didn't look like it's prospering a whole lot. I looked out today, I told my wife, I said, I want you to look at that thing. Why, it's getting greener than a gourd. And it's beginning to bloom, these beautiful purple blooms on it again. I'm telling you, God, just a blessing that thing. It's went through some hard places. It's been through predicament. It's been neglected. But God said, when you get your attention back on it again, I'll begin to bless it and it'll grow again. I want to say to y'all, get your attention on Jesus. Get your attention anchored in things above. Quit looking around and looking over the people and look unto God, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Quit neglecting what your soul needs. Quit neglecting that and start going to the watering hole and getting the precious ointment in the water of the Word of God. And my friend, God will begin to make you greener than a gourd again. And you'll begin to bloom out just as pretty as you ever did to start with. Now, it is a work in progress if you looked at it. Some of you with a green thumb would say, well, it's still dead in quite a few different places. I mean, it's pretty green, but there's still some dead leaves on there. You may say, those go ahead and need to be chopped off. Well, I have pruned back a certain few places that I felt led. I even prayed about where to cut, because I didn't want to cut in the wrong place. And still got some pretty brown-looking places on it. I want to cut the rest of them. God said, no. No, I'll bring those back to life. You just keep putting the water on it every day, and you watch what I'll do. Amen. I want to say I'm glad when I've neglected things pertaining to the things of God, when God brought me under conviction and put me up on my knees and said I was taking heed to all the things that were unimportant and neglecting the one thing that was needful. When I repented of that, God began to pour the water back on my soul, and I may have some dry, dead-looking places, amen, and I might not be all I think I am or all I've cracked up to be, but I want you to see tonight, amen, if you'll just get in the Word of God and get saturated, you'll begin to bloom again. Amen. This man, Gaius, his soul was a prospering. He was blooming for the glory of God. I wonder tonight when folks look at the church, at the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, for which I feel responsible for, are we blooming? I hear reports we're being friendly. Praise God for that. I'd hate to have to preach on being friendly tonight. Amen. I'm glad you're friendly and you're a loving bunch. But make sure you heed that one thing that's important. To stay in the Word of God. John said, I want your health to prosper. Just like your soul prospers. You know, I'm encouraged by the fact that your soul is prospering. And that you're blooming and God's doing great things in your life. And only you know whether you're dead and wielded over or not. God knows that. But I pray for you that God would even bless your health. Amen. We got folks all over our prayer list concerned about their health. Amen. Let's pray about their health. That's his condition. Now, I want you to see, next of all, his conduct. He says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. That's his conduct. How is it he's living his life? He is living his life in the truth of the Word of God. I mean, his conduct, he still has convictions about his conduct. Do you have convictions about your conduct? Standards that God has laid out for you to live by and adhere to, amen. Have you changed that? I'll preach out of the funny papers for just a minute. Tell you the story about Beetle Bailey and Sarge who went golfing. Sarge laid into the ball. I ain't got a good golf swing. Some of you guys could do it better. But Sarge laid into the ball after he'd said four, and there it went. And the ball went past the bunker, over the green, and out into the place that's called out of play. Sarge hit it that way. Beetle ran over to it and he said, hey Sarge, what do you want me to do? You want me to go get the ball and drop it back in play? Sarge said, no, you can't do that. That would be cheating. He said, well, what am I to do, Sarge? He said, Just move the boundaries out. You see, the old devil, he tries to tempt you to do such and such. You say, hey, I can't do that. But your old flesh will start thinking about coming up with a way to justify getting to that anyway. I want to say to you, you may not have the conviction that you once had about living your life. I've seen many a preacher who had great conviction, and then when their children grew up and their children did a few things, they turned their head to it. Let us not be people who changes our conduct based on our present living conditions. This man walked in the truth. What is truth? It's the Word of God. Jesus is the truth. When you look in the mirror, it tells the truth about who you are. This man, Gaius, looked into the mirror of the truth and he lived by it. Amen? That was his conduct. Next of all, I want you to look at his how he was commended, or about his commitment. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully. That's another thing we can say about his conduct. He is faithful. Hey, does your children think you're faithful? Does your family think you're faithful? How come it got so quiet in here? Y'all's amen to me real good a minute ago when I was talking about standards and not compromising. But when we get talking about faithfulness, oh, what's up? What are others saying about me? Would I be deemed faithful? Would you be deemed faithful? Well, it really don't matter what others think about you. What does God think about you? Does He consider you faithful? Not just to come to church and go through the motions. That's faithful. That's one thing we'd have a hard time with. But what about everyday study and preparation? Are we faithful? Makes me wonder. Look here, he says, do us faithfully whatsoever thou doest to brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of the charity of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. What is that saying about Gaius? He's not a leader. He's not a preacher. But you know what he is? He's a helper. He's willing to help. He is a hospitable person. He's willing to do things in charity out of a heart of love to help other Christians. He is a hospitable person. Are you hospitable? I mean, are you an encourager when someone's down and out? Or do while they're down, do you kick them a time or two? Would you be the one to look at that plant on the deck and say, you know, I told my wife at least three times, I said, I'm throwing that thing in the trash. It has had it. I give up with it. Is that what you'd do? Because I was right there ready to do it. God said, let it be a work in progress. Let me teach you something through this plant that I'm nursing. This man was a hospitable person. He was faithful to help others that were in need. Our problem is we know our own need so much, we're not willing to help anybody else. We've got to get ahead ourselves before we can do anything else. Let me leave the dedicated brother. I see Gaius, he was a dedicated brother. But let me go on to verse number 9 to a man named Diotrephes. He was a destructive busybody. Are you a destructive busybody? Oh, preacher, you're making my ears perk up. What are you talking about? In 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3, verse number 11. I hope you got the same Bible I do, because this is what it says. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You may think you're busybody in his work, but the Word of God don't give you no credit for it. And 1 Timothy, chapter number 5, verse 13. And I could have said, they said disorderly. I could have said a disorderly busybody. But God said that it's destructive. To be a busybody in this church is to be destructive. Preacher, why are you preaching this? Have you heard something about somebody? Do you know something about someone that would make you preach this? No, I don't. But maybe the Holy Ghost is wanting me to warn you to keep nursing the plant back to health and not be a destructive busybody. Verse 13 of chapter 5. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. You know, going from house to house. I mean, it didn't say it, but it's speaking about Bell South and AT&T and whoever your local and long distance carrier are. Well, we don't do it on the phone. We like to get together in person, call it a picnic. I don't care what you got, what you call it, God don't agree with it. Amen. Now go back with me over here to about Diotrephes. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. This destructive busybody, I believe he was a selfish man. Why? Because verse 9 says, I wrote unto the church, this is John, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He was a selfish man. He loved to have the preeminence among them. Amongst the church, he had to be first. I mean, he wasn't even a good dog hunt if he wasn't the lead dog. If he wasn't a daddy rabbit running the whole show, it didn't count. The Diotrephes wanted to have the preeminence. He wanted to have power, not prayer. There's a lot of people talk a good game, big about church, but all they want is power in the church and not prayer in the church. This church, the Diotrephes, didn't want it to be about God. He wanted this church to be about the Diotrephes. He wanted to run the show. Now, he was self-confident. He was selfish, self-willed. He was self-sufficient. He was all about the Diotrephes. You ever been around someone that wanted the preeminence? Everything was always about them. I hate to tell you, but this church coming together is not about you. And it's not about me. It's about Jesus. He's the one who went to the cross. He's the one that was buried. He's the one that was raised on the third day. He's the one that saved our soul. He's the one that's keeping us. He's the one that's blessing us. He's the one we preach about. He's the one we declare. This church is not about Diotrephes. He was a destructive busybody. He was selfish. Not only was he selfish, but I want you to know he was stubborn. You ever been stubborn? Me and my wife was talking this afternoon about stubbornness. Stubbornness. Oh, that's where you got the message. I'm not talking about I was stubborn or she was stubborn. We were just talking, and not that you were stubborn. Before you go there, we were just talking about stubbornness. My wife knows just exactly what I'm talking about tonight. And I want you to know that this man was stubborn. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible says at the end of verse 9, he receiveth us not. He was stubborn. He would not receive the man of God, John. Do you know who John was? John was one of Jesus' 12 chosen disciples. One of those 12 was the devil. It wasn't John, it was Judas. He'd already proved himself. This man, John, was the man of God. He had written five books in the Bible. Revelation, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, and the Gospel of John. How many had the authority of God, the authority of the Holy Ghost? But Diotrephes didn't care. He was stubborn and he was not going to receive John in that. In fact, when John wrote, Diotrephes wouldn't let the letter go in there. Read it. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. If I'm going to write you a letter And I'm going to care enough to write it and send it to you, and it gets delivered to you, and if you throw it away, that means you didn't receive it. I wrote it, but you didn't receive it. That's what happened to John. He went to try to help the church, try to encourage the church, and Dr. Fees wouldn't receive it. Hey, you'll either receive the message of God or you won't. You'll either accept the message of God or you won't. And I can't make you, and the Holy Ghost, he could make you, but he ain't going to. He wants you to receive it and accept it in love. But not Dr. Fees. He's stubborn. You ever seen somebody just stubborn? I mean, I look up the word. I was talking to my wife. I said, the word bigot comes to my mind. A bigot preacher. Yeah. I believe that's about discrimination, ain't it? No, no, no. Listen to what a bigot is. Obstinately wedded to a belief or creed. Obstinately wedded to a belief or creed. It is blind zeal. This man, Dr. Fees, became a bigot. He's stubborn and obstinate. And he says, it's going to be my way or no way. That don't need to be in the church. But it was. Not only is he stubborn, but he's spiteful. Oh, you don't like to be around people who are spiteful. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Prating. You know what that means? It means babbling. A busybody, doing a bunch of idle talk about us. He was going out and saying things about Apostle John that he didn't know were true or not. He was saying anything just to talk, just to try to hurt, just to cause division with the church and John, to try to drive a wedge in it, to cut John out of it, so Diotrephes could have the preeminence. I'm telling you what, the old wedge that some people try to drive, God said, you get down there with the wedge backer outer, and you hammer it back, and you hammer it back, and you hammer it back. There should be no division in the church. Amen. Dr. Fees was working overtime to make sure he got his way. He was spiteful. And look what else he did. He was prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. In other words, that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that he just said these things against us. Get on the phone and say, you know the preacher, blah, 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 blah. And you don't a bit more know if that's true or not. You got it third or fourth handed, and you just continued on to tell it. You didn't take no time to find out whether it was true or not. You just couldn't wait to tell it to somebody else. Did you know? And the sad part about it was the person on the other side said, really? And they didn't take time to check whether it's true or not. I'm telling you, parading words, malicious words, slanderous words, they've ruined more churches. Ruined more churches, more ministries, more. You get up and you brag about how unity and fellowship and friendliness, the devil hears, he's got ears, he hears that, and he works overtime to drive a wedge in somebody. To cause destruction. Get you busy doing other things. My friend, you better be watering the plants. But you better not be drying and fizzling them out. Read on with me. Neither, he's not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. He's not like Gaius at all. He won't receive the brethren. And forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. In other words, if anybody comes and said, hey, Dr. Fees, would you hear about John? John's got to tell. No, buddy. If they stood with John because of their association with the man of God, he kicked them out of the church. He has completely run them off just for trying to stand with the man of God. Boy, Dr. Fees, he's a dangerous man, is he not? He's trying to turn people against John and those that are for John. My friend, he's just going to be mean to them. You know why? You know what it all boils down to? He disliked John. He just didn't like him. Now, I don't know tonight whether you like me or whether you like each other, but I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do is rather than running your opinion ever which way is try to learn to love each other. Amen. I mean, yes, I realize that you'll have to work at it if you're going to love me. It will be a very, very hard thing for you to do. But I'm telling you, if you work at it, you can learn to love folks. Some folks, it's hard to learn to love. But you can learn to love folks. And some folks says, well, I'm not going to learn to love anything. I can't see anything good in it. And I'm going to cast out of the church. Well, that's what the Atrophies doctrine was. My friend, he was a destructive busybody. When God sees me, does He see a dependable someone? Or does He see a destructive someone? In my flesh, when I get in the flesh, I can become very destructive. Not in that I throw things and break them. Not in that if Clemson don't win, I kick the cat and go yelling and screaming. No, no. I'm used to that by now. They lose a lot, so I've gotten good at handling it. But that, no, I'm not talking about your temperament. Your temperament, that's a whole other thing. I'm talking about when you don't get your way, you just completely try to tear everything else down. Hear me tonight. When you walk in your flesh, very quickly, just by going to someone and saying, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. You can cause a lot more destruction than you will throwing your remote control across the room. Don't be a destructive busybody. The third D we see tonight. We've seen a dependable brother, or a dedicated brother, a destructive busybody. And the last one's a dependable brother. That's Demetrius. He says in verse 11 now, he says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You ought to underline that in your Bible. The Bible says, try the spirits and see whether they be of God. There's one of your testing points right there. It also said, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Try the spirits and see whether they be of God. Amen? You know what you are? You know what you are? You know what you are? You're a spirit. Inside of you, there's a soul. When you die, your body, hear me, your body will be left behind, but your soul, your spirit will move on. That's how I know you're a spirit. Your spirit will move on, and what you've done with the old rugged cross message will depend on where you go. Heaven or hell. Amen? Thirdly, Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Demetrius, he is the dependable brother. He's got a good testimony. Bible says he's got a good report of all men. In other words, down through all these times, he has a time-tested faith. Have you got a time-tested faith? I've been tested about a lot of other things, ain't you? A time-tested, got a good report of all men. And read what else. My friend, he is a good report, not with all men, but of the truth itself. That he is one who lives by the truth and has standards and without compromise. He, my friend, is dependable. His testimony is an honest report, a good report. He lives by the truth of the Word of God. He is a dependable brother. Now I want to ask you something. In the midnight hour, and you're hurting and you're feeble and you're in trouble, and God lays somebody on your heart to call to pray, who is it that you call to pray for you? I guarantee you, you will not call an undependable brother. You will not call an undedicated brother. You won't call him. You sure better not call a destructive busybody. Because instead of praying for you, they're going to say, hey, guess what? So-and-so's in bad shape. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they get. I can't wait till they kick off. You know, that's the way some people do. Who is it you call? I mean, tonight, who is it dependable in your life? Let me ask this question. We'll go home. You a church member? Yeah. I'm a church preacher. I'm a member of the church. It's good. Are you active? Yeah, I'm here. No. Do you participate? Yeah, I'm here. You know we have Sunday school.
Bless you, Lord.
Happy Lord.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, brother.
That was a shock for some people.
Go ahead, brother.
You know we have Wednesday night service.
Bless you, Lord.
Happy.
We do. Did you know that we have prayer rooms?
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we got some good people teaching Sunday school class down through these hallways and down in the basement there. Good people.
Right.
Did you know that? I mean, you realize there's times when this church has workings here?
Bless you, Lord.
We get a lot of things done.
Yeah.
Preacher, you're beating on us and we're faithful. Listen, I'm trying to encourage you, keep doing what you're doing, but do more of it. Unless you're a destructive busybody. And quit doing that. You will, I'm done, you will not get ahead by running people down, talking about them. I read this, we'll go home. Preacher Gypsy Smith. Y'all ever heard of Gypsy Smith? Famous evangelist. Gypsy Smith. He went to somebody's house, knocked on a door. And they said, "Preacher, I've read this book." Held up a Bible. "I've read this book through time after time after time. And it don't seem to do me no good." He said, "I've read it through, through, and through." What would you say if somebody told you that? The preacher thought for just a minute, swallowed real hard, and he said, "Well, I'll tell you what. If you'd let it run through you, you might get a little help." We need to get in the Word of God. We need to learn to become a dependable and a dedicated brother and not a destructive busybody. Now, I guarantee you not. I'm just going to be honest. I'm trying to quit. But there's been times in each and every one of our lives that we have been a destructive busybody. Every one of us. We didn't want to hear that tonight, but it's the truth. And I would suggest to you that you drop it, punt it, leave it alone, and start serving Christ. Start thinking on things that are pure. And thinking on things that are honest. You need to look to Jesus. And quit talking about you, fellow man. All you're doing is hurting each other. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me tonight. What does God think about me? I know that's what you're thinking. But what does He think about thee? Is that what you're thinking, preacher? No. Try real hard to get on my knees. Try to get rid of my sins, my stuff, my baggage, my garbage before I ever come into church.